Hey, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being here today, whether you are live or listening to the recording. It's perfect. Thank you for being available in all the ways that you are. And I'm really excited to get to be here with y'all today. As you can see, I'm in a different than usual setting in this environment. I am in Calgary right now for the week. I've got a class starting tomorrow here for Body Talk, and yesterday I had a chance to meet up with my mentor, which I was really excited for. And yeah, it's gonna be a good week. I get to go see Martin Shaw. Just a quick little personal update on my end. Really, I'm just so excited to get to meet the man in person. He's a mythologist and a storyteller that I've been following for a while now, and speaks right to the soul. So I think it'll be a nice, yummy, resourcing evening, being able to spend some good quality time that way with some other like-minded folks that I have in Calgary here that are heading out with me. So I look forward to that. And as we get settled in for today, feel free to make your way to a nice, comfy, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for the session. And as you're making your way, I'll give you all a quick update. I have an upcoming Transform Emotions into Energy. For those of you that are unfamiliar with how Buddhas and Butterflies works, it'll be at the Transform Emotions into Energy, that is. It'll be at the end of May. And that, in a way, is an opportunity for people to get to experience a little bit of a taster behind Buddhas and Butterflies. And it's an invitation for them to potentially join in if they feel called to after they make their way through the 5 sessions in 5 days. So I make my way through fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness. I often end up doing a couple integration calls where I might even go into some of those extra emotions and some other bells and whistles. You all get access to it for free, just like everybody else does. And I'll announce all of the particular timings around, when the calls are going to be for that once we get a little bit closer to those dates. But if you know of anyone who's interested, you're more than welcome to, as I get advertising out, likely, ooh, probably next week, to let others in your lives know and share that if it calls to you. And I wanted to let you know the results of the vote are in. The votes were by landslide, honestly, voting for the trauma portion. So I'm more than happy to go into that. And the other two options that I had were the houses and consciousness. Know that I will still be speaking to that material. You probably can't stop me from talking about houses or consciousness, no matter what option we would have picked. It's just integral to body talk in my experience, and it just seems to be how sessions flow out of me these days. So we will definitely be still incorporating that knowledge, and we're going to be doing it through the lens of trauma. And I'm going to do a very different take on this. I don't know anyone else who's doing it this way. I'm sure somebody else is out there doing it this way, but I'd like to overlap to a degree the trauma responses to five element theory, and we'll see how that dovetails to together. I'm really excited to see that. This is not experimental per se. I've definitely seen it play out in various different ways with clients and even in some of the classes of Body Talk Fundamentals Integration. And the results are pretty interesting when I overlap those two. So it'll be an interesting assortment to make our way through Buddhas and Butterflies in the next year. I can't believe we're already talking about that. We still have one more month left in this series, and then we'll be on to year 5, which kind of boggles my mind. So deeply appreciative that that we get to continue to meet together in those ways. And that's, I think, all the updates and all the announcements for right now. As I imagine you've already had some time while I was talking to settle in, I'll invite you to make any little adjustments that you might want to, giving the body some wiggle woggles, some shake shimmies, and letting yourself settle on in. And after you take a moment to settle in, let's begin here by means of breathing. As we begin here, every inhale, an opportunity to call in and receive, to connect to what inspires you. And to drink in life, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. To allow. Every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of you finds that enjoyable in some way, shape, or form, giving yourself permission to soak that on in. I wonder what it might be like to either scan outwardly or inwardly. And wherever your gaze happens to be, if your eyes are closed, you can feel free to keep them that way. And if it calls to you to look outward, if that feels better for you, then honor that. And as you take a moment to scan your environment, the question is what calls to you that's pleasant to neutral here? And letting the gaze land wherever it may go to, that's pleasant and neutral. And as it lands there, noticing what it is you like the most about this thing, either outward or inward. And it as it lands on those things, and you notice what it is you like the most about it, I wonder what it might be to savor that. To drink that in. And to deeply, deeply have that available for you as nourishment. To whatever depth really that you want to take that, whatever might be available right now is perfect. And every breath that you take in here, option to notice what happens with the body. As you deeply breathe this into you, all that you're enjoying, all that you're receiving as nourishment, what is the body mind present to you as it drinks it all in? And if any part of that that's happening inside of you is also quite enjoyable or pleasant or provides relief in any way, taking time to be with that, to receive that. And time to let it nourish you. Perhaps even just 1% more. Thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for calling this medicine in, this work in. Such a joy to get to be with you all in this way, and it's always such an honor. Thank you to all that's gone into creating this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and to all the supports, all that I often refer to as your village. All your resources, your supports, thank you that they're here, that they're available, that they've gotten you thus far to you right here, right now. Knowing that they'll likely continue to offer something down the road, or if not, other resources might become available. And as you drink that all in, I want to offer my thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all. All my gratitude for supporting life, for supporting all that life offers us. Blessings on your journey today, my friends. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. As we start off today, we're actually working, interestingly enough, right off the bat with house number 10. And house number 10 works with career and outward self-expression and even things like recognition, as well as achievements. We're mostly working with that last one today, mostly working with achievements. And it's interesting as we tie that into today's theme, which is transforming worry into clarity in the Chungmo meridian. As we work with the 10th house and achievement, it's actually going to a time when you were small, somewhere between 0 and 7, out of the womb. And somewhere in there, a time in which something was just so boggling to your developmental mind, and something that your parents couldn't or didn't, or were dealing with other things and were distracted for whatever reasons they may have had. They just weren't seemingly available to offer you the explanation of what was happening in this big event that was affecting the entire family. And that in turn feeling like there was all these things that you had to sort out on your own. And that setting the stage for having to create an achievement that was, quite frankly, well beyond your pay grade, as the expression may go, well beyond what might have been possible for a little one to do in that age range. And it may have even felt like you were expected to somehow do the impossible, to set the stage in a way also for either or overachieving or a sense of giving up or apathy later on in life. And although we'll work with that down the road in a moment, it'll tie directly into this all. The understanding is, as we work within those parameters, those dynamics of basically tremendous anxiety-inducing conditions, we're working actually with the potential layer of worry that points more so in the direction of anxiety. And as we work with that, we're actually going to run a... Wow, okay, cool. Don't go here very often. We're going to run a seed tree on what's referred to in Chinese medicine. This isn't as Chungmo-ish as something else. And we're actually working with what's referred to as the internal dragon sequence or the seven dragon sequence. It has a couple different names. It's in classical acupuncture. Okay, so as we work with this, we're going to, I'm going to tell you the points in case they carry meaning for you. We're going to work with stomach 15, which is the important point. It's the master sort of controlling point. And it's just in essence, kind of below the sternum region, is how I'll describe it. And it's just got one point to it. And there's a series of other stomach points that go down the legs. So we've got 25, 32, and stomach 41, which ends up quite down low at the leg there. And as we work with these points that go all the way down the leg, we're actually working with the right leg first, and then the left leg second. And as we work with this pattern, this sequence as a whole, we're actually not gonna work with the individual points so much. I'm just gonna work with the classical sequence as a whole right now, energetically speaking. It helps to work with cleaning out the type of overwhelm, the type of anxiety, the type of overload that can almost in essence bother the spirit to the point, bother the shen, the center of the heart, the center of understanding your essence of who it is you are. And it can actually be aggravated by excess sort of like phlegm type of stuff building up in there, and in general, excess phlegm in the system. And that can go along with, in body talk, what we might refer to as entities or energies that aren't ours, that don't need to be here. And it's as if that attempt to achieve so much when you were little and do essentially the impossible, set the stage for, in essence, a predisposition for this sequence of the buildup of aggravation, so to speak, that's bothering the essence of the spirit, the shen. And as that's getting disturbed, we can actually help it out through that sequence of the needles of, pardon me, the sequence of the acupuncture points that would get needled down the right leg first and the left leg second, or acutonics, or however it is you're stimulating the points. We work with them primarily energetically in body talk. And we're actually gonna run a seed tree on that all. And it's gonna continue, interestingly enough, for the next 15 days. So it's actually gonna cover us all the way through our next two sessions. Interesting. And as we work with this, we're working with bringing in C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, all those little guys. And then we're going to work with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, that lower anxiety, that lower depression, that help out our nervous and immune system alike to heal. Then we're going to work with circulating the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, and also running hydration here, taking out the water, pardon me, not taking out the water, to circulate the water and the joy, and releasing, taking out any impurities that no longer serve here. But interestingly enough, now we're extending that same bit of the sequence that I mentioned of those stomach meridian points, which I should also let you know a little bit more information on. I'm trying to speak to like three things at the same time in my brain, so I'm skipping around a little bit. But as we work with the stomach, know that it correlates to the conscious mind. This is really good at helping to calm down those patterns of overwhelm, overthinking, anxiety, etc., that might be present for us. It also helps to, as I mentioned, as we're working with this sequence, calm down the shen of the heart. So in essence, and we can also see this as an overlap of getting out of our heads and into our hearts in a way. And now this ideally has a little bit more spaciousness. We're also going to extend this circulation to, and the seed tree in its entirety and all that we're working with here, to the ancestral line. And we're going back four generations on mom's side and seven down dad's side, so that any ancestors who need this attention, this work, they also get to receive it. They also get to receive it. Okay, now as that circulates, We'll finish off the C tree. The D is for the defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter and everything that no longer needs to be here gets to go, and what remains gets to be readily reorganized so it can be utilized when needed. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to other possibilities when it may have seemed like there was none before. Then, integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that runs for the next 15 days for you, as long with all of your ancestors, it's all orienting to the consciousness of those times in which you felt like you failed or you judged yourself as being a failure, and it led to the giving up or the apathy. And we're also going to bring in a second orientation towards those times in which you actually led to the self-doubt that you need to continually prove yourself over and over and over, like no achievement would ever be enough, and that pattern. And as we orient it to both of those patterns, we're going to actually release them through governing vessel 20 points from the habit patterns that govern our myelin sheath, or that are stored in our myelin sheath, and that govern our way of being in the world. The myelin sheath is that coating of the nervous system. And I imagine you'll hear me talk about that in tremendous detail as we get into the trauma series. But I won't belabor that too much right now. And we're going to link that all into pancreas reflex points or spleen 21 to help stabilize the system even further. And as that comes to a nice landed, grounded place, I see the connection between mind and heart become clear. And it's actually releasing that time when you were small, but anywhere between 0 and 7, that was like way too big to even digest or chew or take in and receive as the wisdom that it may offer you now. And as we work with that, I see it as releasing off of, in particular, the left brain that was trying to make sense of this and figure this out. And as it comes off of the left hemisphere of the brain, it wraps down the skull and releases patterns of self-criticism and being susceptible or too influenceable by other people's judgments, thoughts, criticisms. It's like it set the stage, that event, whatever it was between 0 and 7, for you to continually enter that land of, or that place of, I shouldn't know my own mind, or I don't know my own mind, or I should look to other people to validate my own mind, my opinions, my beliefs, my thoughts, etc. And as that wraps around, it keeps releasing now through C6 vertebrae, and then it goes down and out the right arm, out through the heart meridian and the lung meridian alike. As it releases through C6 vertebrae, with it goes patterns around hypervigilance or having to be overly alert and almost on edge and like having like eyes in the back of your head, having to watch your back, so to speak. As that continues down through the right arm, I just hear the words, much like a permission statement. I open to love. I open to love. And if it feels right, you can even take a moment to stretch out that right arm in any way that calls to you, giving it a little bit of perhaps movement or jiggles or shakes or shimmies or stretches. And letting in a way the right arm lead the way. Letting it organically find its own pattern through that all. letting it in essence spontaneously unwinds. And we're linking that all into the third house, which is no surprise, as this is connecting to, again, that developmental time in life in which your left brain was developing. And it's a time where there is mental activity along with expression, which is kind of that overlap between house 10 and 3, is that expression. And here we're releasing now also around this age 0 to 7 event, this shame around not being able to express what it is you needed, because you actually couldn't even, through the confusion, form the question, form the, be careful how I put my hand there. That gesture can mean a lot of things. I don't mean that. I'm just flushing through different channels and meridians and points and holdings throughout here. So, that's all I'm doing when I touch my neck and I stroke it. The times in which you are forming your understanding and your cognitions, your perceptions, as well as having them be welcomed and accepted and potentially even lovingly met and challenged in helpful ways that helped you continue to grow and learn even more about your world and yourself. Okay, and here as we work with house number 3, bringing in the natural planetary energy that hangs out here, which is that of Mercury, and bringing in intellectual curiosity. And I know we're in a Mercury retrograde right now. And as we bring in curiosity, the retrograde is actually going to help us out because we're going to look with curiosity at that event. In all the ways that it may have shut down your individual authentic expression and understanding of who you are. I invite you, even if you're not sure what that event was 0 to 7, I invite you in your imagination to imagine what it may be like to get to celebrate that all. To celebrate your mind, not necessarily the event, but to celebrate how your mind is developing and how much work you're putting into figuring this out and meeting yourself here in a way that says, like, wow, you're really going for this. You're really working hard. Look at your mind go. I'm so proud of you for wanting to really challenge yourself and grow in these ways. And also know that this is a really big thing. It might be hard to understand. It might be too much to really take on right now, all at once. But you know what? Now that I'm here with you in these ways, we can actually do that together. We can actually take time to learn slowly in a way that makes sense for your little brain. That's, pardon me, your smaller aged brain, not little, nothing little about it. Brain in a way that really supports you. In a way that you know that you're deeply understood. And if anyone can provide that depth of understanding for you, it's moi, it's me as an adult. As you imagine yourself saying that to your little self, anywhere from 0 to 7, just notice what they might need, what they might offer. And if they want to connect with you or touch or crawl in your lap, or they might look like they need a hug, feel free to take time to offer that. And if they have anything they want to verbally share with you, take a moment to listen to that and be with that. Then thanking your little one. Thanking your little one for all that they're sharing and offering. And they're welcome to hang out with you for the rest of the session if they like, or if they want to go do their thing, they can. If they want to live with you in your heart, they can. They've got lots of options, so just check in and see what they want to do. And I'm thanking them one more time as they leave. I just feel like I want to offer this. I see your brightness. I see your intelligence. And I see how clear you are in your own mind. And thank you. Thank you for knowing that. Thank you for knowing your own mind. And then we're going to link that all into the solar plexus chakra, which supports all things digestion around emotions, life events, experiences, and food. And here's where there's a little bit of a struggle for the Chung Mo to get in here to nourish this belly region, to nourish all things solar plexus. There's a bundle of belief systems hanging out here that's, it's actually not yours either. It's from the family lines. And it's carrying the pressure to achieve and succeed at any cost, at all costs, whatever it takes to live and survive. And with the attention going there, there's not as much attention available for nourishment to be received, digested, taken in, and allowed to be like planted as little seeds that continue to blossom throughout your life. So I'm going to invite us and our imaginations again to take all of that understanding that the ancestors were offering in essence around survival and letting them be reimagined. What if you can imagine every one of your ancestors as actually having achieved and having succeeded and being able to clearly see that that's enough? And just see where your imagination goes with that. As we do that, we're releasing those old frustrations and rage around times not working out, times where that didn't work out, from the liver gallbladder, releasing excess, actually heat, dampness, releasing excess fire and worry alike. And as that cleans out, there's actually the capacity for now the Chung Mo meridian to continue to rise to all things digestive through that entire solar plexus chakra region. And it can actually move past that and get up to the heart and beyond. So it frees up its pathway. Beauty. And I can actually see it rising, all that Chung Mo meridian, all the way up to the head brain now. And as it rises up to the head brain, it's as if there's like little water droplets in good ways that come down to the solar plexus chakra to be received and to be helpful agents, allies. In all that's being digested through the family lines, as you're imagining all that you're imagining, them having had enough, them having been successful, not in a way that we're getting rid of what actually happened with history, but in a way that gives another option or a possibility simply to be present, to free up old tensions and holding patterns in your system. And as we free that all up, and when I say all, I mean whatever layers are available and ready to go. There's no pressure to get it all or to do it all at once. That's usually more survival energy at stake. But to get to do it in ways that are digestible. And also offer an alternative of something else that could have happened or might have happened to liberate the imagination. As well as to liberate your body minds. What if all of your tensions, your holding patterns, are nothing more than frozen imagination? What if? And as you offer that imagination and things get a little bit freer and looser here, and however that may be, as this new energy comes down through the head brain into the gut brain, as there's a realignment between intellect, intelligence, the mind, cognition, perception, and all things belly. I hear the words. I can take in all that nourishes me. I can take in all that nourishes me. And as that nourishment lands and gets taken up through the midline of the body now, as it rises, so too does the Chung Mo meridian rise. And as that nourishment comes through the midline and the Chung Mo rises, it's as if it becomes an upward spiral, rising up to the head brain. And then the head brain offering its nourishment down below to the gut brain, and the pattern continues to loop in a good, helpful way. And if there's anything left to do with the ancestors, feel free to offer them that. And then we're actually going to do an emotional release here of any leftover sadness and grief that they may have been carrying from times in which they felt like they didn't have an offering after they left this world. They didn't leave enough behind. There wasn't enough like of a legacy left behind. As we release that sadness and that grief alike through here, through the ancestral lines, releasing through kidney 24 points, as well as the kidney meridian channel, just on either side of the midline of that rib cage. And if it calls to you, if you have space for this to come from a place of compassion, of gratitude, you can even let them know, thank you. It was more than enough. I'm here and I'm alive. And we're here. We're here. We made it. We made it. And I actually see that releasing all the way through kidney one. Kidney one being in roughly the center of the sole of the foot. Releasing into that earth below. And releasing any old toxicities, tensions, holdings, as well as connecting to the earth energy below in a way that invites in Mother Earth, that invites in this connection of the Schumann resonance that's slower in pacing, that invites us to slow down and be of the earth. To belong in a new way. And if the mention of going slow brings up anything from a couple sessions ago, or brings up anything in general from you, that's interesting information. It's really juicy information to potentially look at and be with and to dive deeper into in a way that likely goes beyond this particular session or container of Buddhas and Butterflies, but might be interesting and juicy to dive into in other ways for your own practices or potentially even with your other sessions that you might be receiving from folks, therapists, body talkers, anywhere in between, potentially even myself. And as we work with this, it's now connecting into age seven. And as if the 7-year-old would like a bit of like a graduation party, like, hey, we made it. We celebrated getting through this first round of like the of a cycle, the first 7 years. There's off life is often thought to flow up in certain ideas and viewpoints out there that I tend to appreciate a lot, which is every 7 years there's a rhythmic pattern that gets established from the womb. And then that gets overlain over top of your first 7 years, and there's another 7 years, etc. But the 7-year-old itself would like a little bit of a graduation party, like, thank you so much for all that well, they're celebrating themselves, which is great, for all that I've offered myself, for all that I've done in these first 7 years, and knowing that I made it. I made it. I'm still here. And I might even have a sense of belonging, that it's okay to be here on this earth, that it's a sense of belonging in a way that might even offer deeper, richer connections in relationships to others, whether that's friendships, intimate partnerships. And as we basically offer that in our imaginations, again, we're doing lots of imagination work today. As we offer that to the 7-year-olds, potentially even imagining that you could offer them something like whatever the equivalent of a 7-year-old parade might be, or celebration with, like, I don't know, balloons, confetti. The world is your imaginative oyster. See where you go with that and have fun with it. As you do that, invitation to know what it's like to celebrate in a way that gets to be at a bit of a slower pace now. And we're linking that into the entire spine, and we're doing a balancing of all the vertebrae above to all the vertebrae below, as well as balancing the sphenoid with your tailbone. In particular, the right side of the sphenoid with the left tailbone. And there are some adhesions here too that have led to a bit of a twist or a torque throughout the body. So as we release the adhesions through here, we're also going to be unwinding all the way through that channel of the spine or the Sushumna. And as we unwind that all through here, running the permissions that it's safe to open up. It's safe to open up your hearts. In particular, the right side of the heart again. That connects to the lungs more so and gets oxygen to circulate through, well, eventually the left side of the heart, but it's the right side of the heart has a very intimate relationship to the lungs, circulating and flushing out that oxygen in good ways. Not flushing out, circulating and utilizing that oxygen in good ways. I see the right lung begin, in particular, to have a new relationship to the right side of the heart. It's almost like it's been listening and it's been hearing, ah, we made it, we belong here, we made it, we belong here. We survived, we're here. And not only are we here, but we also get to receive nourishment. And we get to not just survive, but thrive. And we're linking in that Chungmo Meridian pathway now to the, interestingly enough, the right heart and the lung on the right side, which is, it's almost like it felt like it didn't quite get enough connection in this way. It's almost like it was pushing away that connection to the Chungmo and all that it resources in their system. And as the Chungmo now gets to be doing its natural role, it actually sheds, interestingly enough, I see it almost like a waterfall cascading down it, releasing worry, but particularly the type of worry that again borderlines on anxiety and creates a what's known as the pattern of like near to tears type of frustration in the liver. Yeah. actually going to sever small belief systems that aren't yours and just really don't need to be here, available in the liver anymore, that are creating some congestion, some stagnation. And it's with it, it's carrying a sense of almost like immobility or paralysis, like nothing might ever change, type of hopelessness. As we clean that out through the liver, releasing with it the identity or the belief, I am hopeless, and running the permissions of I am not hopeless. I am not hopeless. And that's linking to also releasing the belief system that life is not hopeless. Life is not hopeless. And we're linking that all the way up to now, the right brain. And as it works with the right brain, our feminine essence, feel free to even take a hand there. We're inviting in clarity. Excuse me. By means of unhooking another bundle of belief systems. Women shouldn't know what they want. Women shouldn't know what they want. Women should be told, not heard. Goes with that. And as we release that through here, it's connected to the right hip. It's created this fear of it being seemingly impossible to take a risk or to move forward. And that's connecting to that earlier mention of hopelessness. And as this all ties together, we're connecting again right brain, right hip, as well as now right ovary. We're circulating the right ovary's natural consciousness of willpower. And we're circulating that all the way through this entire right side. And specifically going through a line that connects to opening up our heart to love and working with all things related to love in general. That line's about midway between the center line of the body and the outside edge of the body. About halfway through that all. And that in turn is linking into house six, house of practical action, being in service to ourselves. And with that, we're releasing this idea, this concept that somehow love is not practical. And as we unwind that and release that through the right side of the body, which is more the masculine side. We're also releasing that through the right brain, that love is not practical. And I hear the heart go, oh yeah. It's very playful in its spirit. And as it playfully challenges that all and comes back here, by coming back here, I mean it's circulating its natural heart open energy around love all the way through this line. It creates almost, well, not like a central core, but like a halfway core. It creates a really strong open container, is maybe a better way to say this, that opens not only to receive love, but being able to, through the right side, extend it openly and offer it to others, whether that be your ancestors, yourself, friendships, your animals, this world, intimate partnerships. and running up permissions, but in the form of a question. What is it to connect to your world through the lens of love? And then we're linking that into all the senses. What is it to connect or perceive, if you will, in this case, to your world through the lens of love? What if it would be okay to even just play that out in your imagination just for a moment? And then we're linking that all the way through now to House 12. Less so this time as like that place where we need to release old toxic patterns or something like that, but more so to recognize that this love gets to come all the way through. And perhaps it's the only thing that's guiding us all the way through, one would argue. If one could argue about love, and I might, from house 1 through house 12. I often point out different connections between houses and connections in different ways, but what if love was the primary point that connected all of it, all 12 houses, all of your patterns, all of you, all of your sense of self and how you relate to your outer world. And then what if that worry energy, the anxiety worry that we've spoken to in a couple of different ways throughout the session, was just in essence trying to contain that love to make it available for you to access? And what if now that the love is so vibrantly present, that worry, that anxiety just naturally falls away? Because you actually don't need to contain it. Love is meant to have no boundaries. It doesn't actually need containment through any form of helpful worry or anxiety. And then we're releasing that through, we've been to this joint before, roughly where the collarbone joins onto the sternum. And where that SCM muscle, the sternocleidomastoid muscle, connects in that region as well. And we're linking that all through house 8, house of rebirth, regeneration. What if you could be born anew onto yourself? And as we work with the energy of being reborn onto ourselves, connecting to, again, willpower, but this time through the lens of the kidney meridian. In a way that allows all the ancestors to also experience that through the kidney lines. And bringing in Pluto, which hangs out here a lot with all things 8th house and kidney, meridian. I'm bringing in Mercury again for its curiosity with Pluto's energy of transformation on fairly large scales. Large scale, like ancestral scale. And that's linking into the reciprocal occiput to sacrum, stabilizing our entire craniosacral rhythm, along with connecting into those regions which helpfully regulate our nervous system. And then we're going to tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe and receive. If it feels right, you can check in on your little ones you were connecting with earlier. If they're with you, and you can imagine tapping it out on them. And if your little one was already elsewhere, off doing other things, this will get taken care of through you. So no worries around that at all. In case any of you had lingering thoughts about that. As that settles, offering that a couple rounds of breath. And if it feels right, connecting to that resource that you found earlier. I think I've actually played this one for you, but it was calling so richly today. And if I did play it, it hasn't been for a few months. So it's the name of the song is called Spirit's Calling, and it's by Beautiful Chorus. It's from the album Hymns of Spirit. It's 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes long. As you settle in with that little one, if they're available with you, they're welcome to listen. And if they've already gone and integrated elsewhere with you or as are playing somewhere, they'll get it through your ears. Taking time to mindfully receive all that feels good here. And breathing this all in. Wish you a most beautiful rest of your day, your week ahead, shining beauty, wherever that may feel right for you from the inside out. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you all. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. And as always, if anyone needs any additional support, feel free to stick around. And otherwise, I'm gonna one more time and say goodbye for now.